Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
Sticking to prayer this morning, I'm sticking to the theme of prayer. And the last 2 weeks, we've been talking about how to have our prayers effectively answered. What should we do? How should we pray? And the disciples asked Jesus one thing. They really asked him. They said, Lord, teach us to pray. And so we know through the Bible that Jesus was constantly referring to prayer. He didn't only teach them to pray the Our Father, but it's very interesting because if you study the guidelines that are given to us throughout Scripture, they all somehow seem to go back to the Our Father in some other way. So it's extremely powerful. But this morning, I want to show and share with you a principle that will hinder your prayers if we don't pay attention to this. And this is something that we don't talk about often in church because it's a little uncomfortable. So happy Mother's Day. Okay, let's go to 1 Peter 3, verse number 1. 1 Peter 3, verse number 1. I'm going to ask the guys in the back that are doing the scriptures with me, don't go ahead of me, please. Stay with me. And we're doing it verse for verse, so we're going to be going fairly slow. I'm going to be breaking this down for you in the Hebrew. I won't. I'll be breaking it down for you in the Greek this morning. Amen. Because we're going to be spending primarily this morning in the New Testament. And we're going to be taking a look at this. Amen. So 1 Peter 3, verse number 1. Let's go. It says, wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husband. Husbands, wives, be submissive to your own husbands. Now, we need to just take a look at this scripture because, first of all, there's a couple of things going on here. And this is a continuation of where Peter's addressing the guys and he's saying to them, you know, he's talking about submissive, and that's why he uses the word likewise there. In other words, he's saying do the same. He's saying likewise because he was talking earlier on about masters and slaves and other people being submissive and all that kind of thing. But let's focus this morning on the husband and the wife. Is that okay? So wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands. It's amazing. I realize that I normally get more amens from the ladies because right now when we talk about being submissive, there's very few amens. So let me start by saying this. Men, that does not mean that your wife is your housekeeper. It does not mean that she is your personal bookkeeper. She is not your personal chef. She's not your babysitter. Well, I should hope she's not babysitting you. Amen. However, nowadays, nowadays, women have also become the mechanic. They are like teachers. They are teachers with, I mean, I'm amazed at my wife, how she sits with my daughter and they do homework for hours. It's incredible. Amazing to see what women do nowadays. But one thing we should never take for granted is that this is not necessarily their duty, but they do it. They do a lot of these things for us. They do a lot of these things because they want to. But the reality is that a woman or a wife submits to her husband. And it's very powerful in the original language because what it actually says is the Greek word is called hypotasso. It's the Greek word hypotasso, which actually means to put in place or to place under or subject or arrange under. So a woman is under her husband in the house. Now, guys, this is scripture, so you cannot get upset with Pastor Alex. Is that okay? But I want you to understand that does not mean that your wife is controlled by you. That does not mean that your wife is inferior to you. It means that she knows her place in the marriage. Amen. And that she understands that she is under you. It's interesting because Jesus submitted to his parents while he was on earth. Jesus also submits to the Father. I do nothing that I do not see my Father do. He submits to him. Does that make Jesus any less than the Father? No. Also, the Bible teaches us that children should submit to their parents. So there's place and there's order in the kingdom of God. And in a marriage, there's also got to be order. Amen. So it's important for us to understand that. We also see many examples in the Bible of submission to authority. For example, the citizens should submit to their government. Servants should submit to their masters. Or if you're a boss, the people that work to you should submit to you. But again, it's not a curse word. It basically means there's an order. There's an order in a business. There's an order in a home. But that doesn't mean there should ever be abuse of that, and there should never be, it should never be taken for granted or treated wrongly. Does that make sense? Okay, don't worry, ladies, you're going to get very excited just a little later. Because I'm going to break it down. It's important that we look at everything. Is that okay? All right. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husband. That means that your responsibility as a wife is to be submissive to your husband. Not to your neighbor's husband or to the husband down the road, your own husband. You should submit yourself to your own husband. Is that okay? And if you study scripture, you'll see this terminology used many times, multiple times, over and over, where they express and over-iterate the fact that a wife should submit to her own husband. That means that your husband is the authority and you should go to him, not to somebody else's husband to get the answer. Is that okay? All right, let's get into it. That even if some do not obey the word. Now, this is talking about your husband. Let's just read that again because it's kind of hard to believe, right? Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands. That even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives. Let's take a look at this. Let's break this down. In the Greek, do not obey means exactly what it says. It means that some will refuse to be persuaded. This is speaking of both non-believers and possibly believers, both. So in other words, your husband may not even be a believer. But it is saying that you should still submit to him. Amen. Now, you need to pay attention to what I'm going to share with you this morning, because it's going to really set a lot of you free if you receive it. That even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives. So we can see that some men, even though you are married to them and you're a believer and they're a believer, some of them will not always obey what the Bible says. Some of them will be not even believers, and you will be a believer and you will see them. But the Bible says that you must still be submissive to those husbands, right? I'm not asking if they go and make you sin. Okay, amen. Let's not be, silly. I'm talking about you should still, your husband should still be the head of the home. Amen. Just stick around. You'll be okay. They without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives. The word won is a very powerful Greek word. It's the word kedaiono, which means to gain, to make profit, or to win. It is like, it's like suggesting that you're playing a game correctly and winning the game. It's like playing a game correctly and winning the game. So in other words, it's saying that a wife should still be obedient to her husband, but she should do it without a word. Listen, many times we feel that we should preach to our husbands. Now, I'm speaking on behalf of wives. Is that okay? The reality is that you will not win your husband over by preaching to him. The Bible is teaching us an extremely valuable lesson here. And that is that if you live a godly life, if you serve the Lord, if you follow him, if you listen to his word, if you do what the Bible says, what will happen is your conduct, the way that you live, will be a persuasive thing that will convince your husband, not your preaching or your teaching or your disciplining or your correcting. So basically it's saying that With your conduct, with the way that you live your life, you will be able to win over your husband. The word there for conduct is the word anastrophe, which means conduct, behavior, manner of life, or the way that you live your life. The way you live your life is the way you will be able to win over your husband. It's very quiet this morning in Vero Beach. Listen, guys, I cannot tell you how many times as a pastor I've had ladies come up to me, "Pastor Alex, my husband doesn't want to come to church. What should I do? I want to come to church twice a day, and I want to do this, and I want to do that. And I try and tell him what to do, and I try and teach him that this is what he should do and how he should live." And every single time I say to them, "Listen, you be the one that sets the example. Don't preach with your mouth. Rather live the life and show your husband that what's taking place at church and in your life is actually going to speak so much louder than anything you could possibly say." And that's what he's busy saying here. Is that okay? The way that we live can win over our husbands. Verse number 2 says, "When they observe your chaste conduct, accompanied by fear." I want to just read you a scripture. 1 Peter 3, verse number 1 says this. No, sorry, not. 2 Corinthians 3:3 says this. "Clearly you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not on tablets of flesh, that is of the heart." It's very clear that our lives are a story. And this doesn't just go for women, this goes for every single one of us. And you must understand that even when the Bible speaks to ladies, there are lessons for us. And when the Bible speaks to men, there are lessons for ladies. Is that okay? And in this scripture, this is now a totally different scripture, but it speaks about how our lives should be an epistle. In other words, when the Bible and when God begins to move in our lives and change us and transform us, our hearts begin to change. What then takes place is the way we live our lives will be an epistle that will speak far greater than anything that you could say. Amen. Amen. Do not, verse number 3, let's go back to 1 Peter 3, verse number 3. "Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart." Now, first thing I want to address is this is not saying that you mustn't look beautiful, and that you mustn't wear jewelry, and that you mustn't make your hair look nice. In fact, if you study it and you study the culture back then, they were really into this stuff. The ladies used to spend hours curling their hair and putting on fine makeup and wearing jewelry to look beautiful for their husbands. And there's nothing wrong with that. This is not suggesting that that is something that you mustn't do. But what it is suggesting is what's said in the last verse there, where he says, "Rather let it be the hidden person of the heart." The word "hidden" there is the word kryptos, which means something that is hidden, something that is hidden away. The word "heart" there is the word karya, which speaks of the physical heart. So listen, Peter is saying, rather than the outward appearance, let that is not seen, your inner man, your spirit, let that be the thing that will change your husband. "With the incorruptible beauty." In other words, what he's saying is, listen, you can look beautiful and you should. You should make your hair look nice and you should. But understand that you are going to age. And as you age, those things begin to fade. And as those things begin to fade, if that's what drew your husband, you're in trouble. Because at this point, what he's saying is that there's one thing that will truly change your husband, that will truly turn his heart towards you. And that is that is incorruptible. And that is your inner man. So as you begin to transform, as you begin to allow the word to change you, as you begin to live a life without preaching, but rather living it, being the example, showing how God is changing you, that is incorruptible, because your spirit lives forever. Right? Just where does it live forever? Amen. Amen. It's incorruptible, lasts forever. It does not get old. It does not decay. He's saying, rather than spend all your time on your outward appearance, developing your outer beauty, rather focus what's important, and that is your inner beauty. But the question is, how do we do that? How do you as ladies, I've stopped talking like I'm a lady. Amen. How do you, as ladies, how do you get through to your husband? I'm so glad you're asking so many questions. Let's take a look at it. He says, incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. Now watch this. The Greek word for gentle is the word praos, which means, listen now, a considerate, a humble, a kind, a modest, a gentle, a mild spirit. Now you must understand, ladies, please, I'm not suggesting that you must be perfect and we're all a work in progress. The Bible says we should all have the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. But I'm busy showing you what the Bible says, that as a wife, we should be like to our husbands so that we can change them, right? Or change our house or change our children. How should we live? How should we conduct ourselves? And if someone gets upset with this, they can't. It's the Word of God. Amen. So we should be gentle in spirit. We should be considerate, humble, kind, modest, mild. It describes a woman whose attitude is one that is friendly, warm, patient, kind. So in other words, she is not going to just get angry, even when her husband is not necessarily doing what she wants. She's not going to just get outbursts of wrath. Even when faced with the opportunity to react to anger, she will not get upset. She will remain controlled. She will remain forgiving. She will remain gentle. I can see the guys going, yes, brother. Keep on preaching. This is good stuff. Amen. Amen, guys. Come on. So the word gentle really suggests someone who, in crisis and in all adversity, even in your home, you remain in like a self-control type way. The word quiet is also a powerful word. It's hiskios, which means well-ordered, restful, peaceful, and calm. Listen, guys, there are times, I know, hey, let's get real. There are times where there's no peacefulness. There's no quietness. There's no calmness. But God is saying something to us. He's saying, listen, in your marriage, you're going to face all kinds of different things. There's going to be times where you feel your spouse is not doing what they're supposed to do, perhaps. But how you're going to change them is not going to be by shouting and screaming and fighting. The way you're going to change them is to stay controlled, stay in prayer, stay close to God, develop the inner part, right? And as you do that, the Holy Spirit will have the opportunity to do His work. Amen. This kind of woman that has the ability to practice this, to do this, and again, there's no condemnation. We all are work in progress, but the reality is this is what we should strive for. The Bible says that this type of woman is very precious in the sight of God. Can I get an amen? Amen. I know most of you are like that. Amen. So we see how precious someone like this is in the sight of God. That word precious means very costly or valuable. The question is, ladies, in your house, do you contribute to peace? Are you able to cause your house to be stable through rough times? Are you able to stay self-controlled when challenges come, or do you blow up? Are you a peacemaker in your house? The question is, are you behaving in a way that causes you to be precious in the sight of God? Amen. For in this manner, verse number 5, for in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also ordained themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. As Sarah obeyed Abram, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, you do good, and are not afraid with any terror. Now, ladies, just take a deep breath, okay? We understand that in order for us to impact the lives of our families, to impact our husbands, to change the heart of our husbands, or to minister to our families, whether they're doing good or not, the reality is this is how a lady, a woman, should be in her home, according to Scripture. Do we believe the Bible is true? So we believe this, right? Okay, some of you believe it. That's okay. All right. So we understand that. But remember, he's speaking about the condition of the heart. The Bible doesn't want you to get angry because it hurts you. It hurts your family. The Bible doesn't want you to have outbursts of wrath because it hurts you. It hurts your family. So please understand, all this is not to try and discipline you and sort you out and make you come under submission. It's to try and help you to win your family, not with words, but with your heart. Amen. Now watch. In today's society, it is not easy for women. I'm just going to say it like it is. Let me tell you, we as men are very guilty of constantly not treating our brides the way we did specifically when we dated them. For some reason, I don't know why, but for some reason, we kind of lose our focus, our way. But in the beginning, we would always open the door for them, call them constantly all day, buy them flowers. You see, some of you know what I'm talking about. Buy them flowers. Tell them how much we value them or love them. Give them a hug or give them a kiss. Just because. Tell them how beautiful they look. Treat their moms well. Amen. What we don't understand is that for some reason when we begin to stop this, and you must understand, ladies, it's not because men do this, because they just want to do it. They become oblivious of the fact that they're doing this. But what we don't understand as men is that this begins to harden their hearts towards us. They begin to feel like, why has he changed towards me? And this is something that's very difficult for ladies to understand. What we as men must understand is that women always require affection and attention, regardless, men, of how stressed you are, how hard you work, how exhausted you are. Ladies want to know all the details. They want to know how your day went. They want to talk. They want to be able to spend time with you. It doesn't matter how you feel. They also want to be a part of your life. Amen. Women need to be cherished. Now watch. Verse number 7 says this. Husbands likewise. So now he's saying the same thing again. Likewise. In other words, men, do the same. In other words, you also must behave in a certain way. You need to do the same. The word dwell there is so powerful. And this I want to focus a lot on this morning, because this is where we as men really miss the boat. This word dwell is only used once in the New Testament. It actually means, well, first of all, it's the Greek word synoikoia. Okay, you can go look it up. My pronunciation isn't that great. Okay, which means to live with, to live together. Now listen to this. To form a community. This is powerful. This is so powerful. Because the reality is that as husband and wife, men should understand that they need to dwell together with their spouse. In other words, your spouse becomes your main community. Come on, ladies. Come on, a little bit of a, you know. Your wife becomes your main community. You shouldn't live past her. So you won't find this word anywhere else. You won't find this word to describe your bromance. You won't find this word to describe, or the Bible doesn't suggest how you should have your interest group. The Bible doesn't say that you should dwell or have this kind of community with all your friends. The Bible says that this type of community and the way you should live with is only with the person that you are married to. This is very powerful, guys. Because we miss it. As men, we're so stressed, we're under pressure, we have to provide, we feel all this stuff, so we get home. And when we get home, we don't want to talk. We want to just turn on the TV and watch the football or watch the ice hockey or watch some fishing. Watch some fishing and some more fishing. And then we'll watch a little bit more fishing. And the reality is that your wife, whether she's been working or staying at home, wants to talk about the day. She wants to have a little bit of community with you. But what happens with us is we've been worn out or whatever it is, and we feel that at this point now, shut down time. That's right. It's time for me to just... And the problem is that the most important person in your life, and I'm going to say that again, because your kids are not the most important person. As important as they are, the most cherished and important person, the person that will always have your back, men, the person that will be your biggest fan, men, the person that will always support you, is your wife. We live past each other. We want to switch off. We want to do our own thing. And here's the reality. Unfortunately, now we talk about the week. And the week, maybe some of us, we get it right a little bit because we feel like, I'm going to wait till she goes to bed, then I'll watch hockey or whatever. But the reality is that that's not enough. Because you need to understand that when you are off, she needs you as well. You see, we always want to try and build community outside of our family, which is not bad, but should never be your primary focus. Doing it on weeknights can be easy, but when it comes to the weekend, sweetheart, I'm going fishing, or I'm going to play golf, or I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that, whatever it is that your interest is. Listen, your community, the most important community that you have is your spouse. Because if you want your wife to treat you the way I described, the way a woman should treat her spouse, you need to also be able to understand that you must dwell with her. You must have community with her. I'm not in any way saying that you mustn't go fishing or hunting or play golf or do what you want to do, but make sure that she understands that she's your highest priority, that she's the one that you want to spend most weekends with, most of your days off with. This is like a new theology to us. But this is the way it should be. The guys were all excited earlier on. Now they're not too happy. And I've only just begun. The reality is, guys, is that the person you will share your life with is your spouse. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them in all understanding. Giving honor to the wife. And this is powerful. The word give there means to assign. It actually means to impart. It's the word epomeno in the Greek, which is powerful. It says to show them. To show them. It means that you are intentionally giving them honor. And the word honor there is actually funny because in the Greek it's the word time. But it's not time, even though we should give them time. It's the word time, which means to value them, to esteem them. So men should show their wives honor by esteeming them, by valuing them, by, listen to me, treating them as though they are a precious gift. That's what the language is saying, the original language. Is that okay? The wife, the Bible says, is the weaker vessel. The word weaker is the word athenaios, which generally means, listen to me, physically weaker in strength, physically in her body, but it in no way means that a woman is inferior to a man. A woman is not inferior to a man. A woman and a man are equal, but they have different roles. What it's saying, guys, is that Peter is trying to get through to us that, listen, they are like your precious cargo, that you should treat them in a way that shows them love and respect and honor. He's saying that they're weaker in this context to suggest that treat them like a treasure that's delicate, that's precious. He's not saying it so that we can, oh, they're weaker than us and we should. It's not like that. Amen. He's trying to say that this is how we should treat our wives. Because we expect them when we get home and it's been hard and they're full of tension and stuff and we get into it, we expect them to stay calm so we can stay calm. But if we expect that, then we also need to treat them the right way. Is that okay, guys? So we should honor our wives. And it says there, it says, heirs together of the grace of life. Heirs, here speaks of a partner, of partners in everything in your lives. You need to, in your relationship with your spouse, be partners. Listen, you may not like what I'm about to say, but there's no such thing as his and hers. There's no such thing as his and hers. It's a partnership. A marriage is a covenant. It's a partnership. The two don't become his and hers. The two become one. So we become equal heirs. Now, watch this, because it's about to get really hot in the kitchen. Why should we do all of this? Let's go to the next verse. That your prayers may not be hindered. You were all wondering, why am I bringing a prayer this morning? What has this got to do with prayer? Listen, guys, if your house is out of order, your house will not stand. Women, submit to your husbands, because that's what the Bible says. That doesn't mean that they must be a master over you and that you must slave towards them. It's a partnership. Husbands, honor your wives, cherish them, love them, so that when things get difficult, they will stay calm and they will show peace and they will give you mercy, and the two of you will fight the good fight of faith together, hand in hand, side by side, fighting together. Amen. The reality is, guys, and think about it. The Bible says in Mark 3:25, a house divided itself cannot stand. So how does the enemy hinder our prayers? Well, when there's division and there's tension and there's strife and there's anger and we are not fulfilling our role, guess what? The enemy has legal ground to attack you. These letters, these lessons were given to us by the apostles, not so that they could try and sort us out. They were given to us to help us so that our marriages and our lives can be a success, so that we can walk in victory. Well, you know, Pastor Alex, my kids are out of control. And I'm not saying it's always the case, but sometimes it's because your house is out of control. Things are not in order. When things get a little tough, the husband wants to switch off, so the wife takes the role as the head of the home. This is wrong. We should do things in order. We should do things in order in the church. We should do things in order in our homes. And the lesson is so valuable. And this morning, I want to pray a special blessing over every woman specifically, but for the men as well. But what I want to say this morning to the men, because really at the end there, he says and he speaks about the two of you together. But the reality is, gentlemen, is that right next to you, most of you or some of you, and those of you that don't have a wife, it's sitting your wife or the person you love, perhaps. Or maybe they're not here right now. Maybe they're somewhere else. And maybe those young people, you'll remember this morning. Don't make the person that God has given you to fight the race with your enemy. Love them. Cherish them. Listen to them. And they will treat you like a king. They will give you everything you need to fulfill the destiny and purpose. Listen to me. That both of you have. Amen. Can we pray? Father, this morning in this place, first and foremost, we thank you for your word, Lord. Because your word says that there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Father, we have all missed it with us so many times. We lose our focus. We lose our way. We lose the things that are dear to us because of our own ignorance, stress, whatever it is, Father. And this morning, I want to pray for every marriage in this house. Father, I come against the plans of the enemy, against every family, against every household right now. In the name of Jesus the Christ, I take authority over you, Satan, and I bind you now. I break your power, you and your foul spirits that would come against the marriages, the families. Lord, we know that the marriage, the institute of marriage is so important to you. And so I pray this morning, Father, that you will bless, that you will protect every marriage. Father, I pray for all those that have gone through broken marriages, betrayal, all that stuff, Lord, this morning that you will cause great healing to come to their hearts. Father, for we know that when we come to you and we repent and we turn, Father, we know that at that moment the grace is sufficient for us. Lord, I pray you will help us men to be better husbands. I pray that you will help the ladies to be better wives to their husbands. And Father, I pray that you will teach us and show us that we should fight together and not against each other. Father, I pray this morning for a special blessing over the ladies. It's Mother's Day, and we pray, Father, for them this morning. Father, I pray that you will help every man in this place to remember to cherish the great gift that you give us that is a wife. To love them, to honor them, to protect them. Right now, Father, I thank you for your presence that's here. And I pray, Father, that this will be a new beginning for many of us. For your word is sharp like a two-edged sword that has the ability to go into the secret little places of our hearts. We love you so much, Jesus. We love you so much, Father. We thank you for your word that is truth. In Jesus' name.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.